Hey, welcome back to the 15 Minutes with Frank podcast. I am Frank, and I'm so glad that you are here. Hey, man, summer, we're like halfway through it, right? Like, we passed July 4th. We should be thinking already about, you know, our back-to-school stuff, which I'm like, on the cuff of promoting. Like, I'm already, I'm really excited about the event, and, like, I want to start promoting it, but, like, that's all about timing your back-to-school event. So, like, if your back-to-school event's in August, you should be promoting it pretty soon. My back-to-school event's actually in September because the school system starts, like, after, like, the first week of September. So, like, that's when we're having our event. I am so stoked about it. I'll be sharing about that the moment we start promoting it because I'm going to be preaching at it, even though I don't want to preach at it because I want to bring in a speaker, but, you know, it just didn't work out. But it's going to be fun. I'm excited about preaching at it. I think I have an idea of what I'm going to preach on. It's going to be a fun time. But I think I'm going to have, the artist, the band I'm bringing in. What? Oops, I already shared too much. I said band. But it's going to be a good time. I can't wait. I'm like fangirling or fanboying, you know. No need to be gender biased. But I'm going to be fanning out because this is an artistic experience that I've been wanting for a very long time. All right. So anyways, you're on this podcast because you want to know what I did last night. Let me tell you what I did last night. And I have some tips about something that I think we would all benefit from. So I have been having my interns run the summer. And it's been glorious. And I'm going to have my interns come on here one day and talk about what it's like to be an intern and all the ins and outs of that experience. Because I think a lot of people think internships should only be in like massive mega churches. And that's not true. You don't need to be a big church. You don't have to have a big budget to have interns. Like, if you think about it, internship is like a really good discipleship plan. Like, for like specific people, it's like a good discipleship plan that you should have in your church. Or not should. Like, that sounds like it's too strong. But like, you could have. Does that make sense? So I'm going to have my interns on here. I also have a plan of bringing on one of my, like, super stellar volunteers who she, like, I should be paying her because of how much she does. But I just talked to her today about how I want to interview her. And I think she finally, when you get to know her, you'll understand why this is kind of funny. She finally said yes. So she's willing to do it. But it was like, twist your arm because she is a tough one, a fun one. Anyways, so we have a fun night. We had a fun night last night. Let me just dive right in. So the interns are running everything, and we're in this series about sharing your testimony. And so we began the night. The students came in around 5:30, 5:45. There were snacks. There was cookies. There was water. We didn't have any juice or anything like that. And at 6 o'clock, we showed our missions trip recap video. And so it killed. Like, students loved it. Like, it was super funny. There was inside jokes. There was stuff that, like, would get kids excited about next year, whether they were returning or to sign up. It accomplished everything. And actually, what I want to talk about at the end of this podcast is, like, I think, like, there's a few subjects that I'm really passionate about that aren't important, but I'm passionate about it. And one of them is, like, when it comes to, like, graphic design and videography, like, there's certain rules that are, like, really easy to follow that I think a lot of youth pastors break. And it's not hard. We don't have to break them. And so I think there's some stuff that we could do to make our videos great, graphic t-shirts great. And what I want to talk about specifically is, when it comes to videos, how we can make better videos. But until then, let's talk about the rest of the service. So we had the mission trip video, and it went really, really good. Then we were going to play two games, and we ended up playing three games because, the games ended way too early. Like, the first game ended too quickly, the second game ended too quickly, so we had to create a third game that I kind of ran off the cuff. And it ended up being really fun. So the first game we played was called Human Pac-Man. And so Human Pac-Man is like, some people call it line tag. And, like, I've never heard of line tag before. But it was one of those games where, like, there was one person who was it, and they were only allowed to stay on the red line. And the people who were not it, who were, like, trying to avoid from getting tagged, they were on the yellow line, which is all tape or whatever. And so they were, like, running around, and, like, the they could only stay in the line. So that what made it like confined was like they couldn't get off the tape. And like the way the boundary, like the tape was, it looked kind of like a tennis court, if the best way I could explain it. I'm going to insert a video from YouTube on the website so you can see kind of like how other youth groups have done it. And if I can, I'll download the Snapchats from my ministry so you can kind of see what we did and kind of the variations we did it. Like, so the person who was it would have to hop. The person who was there had to crab walk. And, like, one time we played with the person who was there had to, like, latch arms back to back with someone else to tag the other people. Super fun game. My only criticism of the way we played it was I wish we had a bigger space. So if you have, like, a really big, like, space, like, to play this kind of game, like, a gym would be super perfect for the amount of kids we had. If you have a smaller group, maybe my space would have been fine. But, like, my space was, like, a little bit too small. And I wish we had a little bit bigger space. But I think even if you have a smaller group, a bigger space is better because you just tag so many people in the beginning because it's so confined, you know? So I'll explain it. It's kind of hard to explain. But basically, it's kind of like line tag where someone who's it has to stay on this line. And, like, the line goes throughout the playing area. But it's not the same line as the other people who are not it. Who they can run throughout this different line of the play. This is in this audio format. It's impossible to explain this game. So just go to the website, frankgill.me, and it'll have kind of like more of the nuanced rules, and you can see videos of what I mean. Then we played this game. So I don't know if you remember this. Like several episodes ago, I told you we played a game called Write, Draw, Write, where like someone had to write a sentence, and then they passed it, and someone had to draw that, and someone had to pass that, and then they had to write what they saw the draw to try to figure out what the original sentence was. And you keep going until the whole table gets it. And I told you how last time we played this, it flopped. Well, it flopped again. Like, it sucks because it's such a fun game. And like some of the kids know how to play it, but there's just some reason like, it's hard to play this as a big group. Like, we're still breaking up into groups of, like, six or eight. But, like, for some reason, like, it's just, it doesn't, I don't know why. And, like, I've always told you guys I'll be honest if a game flops. And I'm telling you right now, the game flopped. It didn't work out well. And I don't know how to fix it. Like, I don't know. Like, I've played this game with, like, small groups of kids. And it worked out well. But, like, when you have 50 kids in a room and they're in groups of six or eight and you're telling them to explain the rules, it's like they don't get it. And maybe because it's like the rules are very specific and like, I don't know. I don't get it. If you have success, I think it's a great game. I think youth groups should play it. But for whatever reason, it's not working in my context. So, and the next game we played, the last game, that I kind of freestyled because we had 45 minutes before worship and we were almost done with this game, is we played, so let me give some context. On the missions trip, we played Mafia all the time. And, like, the kids fell in love with Mafia. Like, they just got hooked to it. Like, they've never played it before. It was weird. They fell in love with Mafia. The other game we played on the missions trip that the kids fell in love with is the game Heads Up 7-Up. And so when I got to the game, like, so Mafia was the big game. The Heads Up 7-Up was, like, just one of the other games we played. And so when we walked into the youth room, and I said, like, okay, guys, I'm going to play a game here. And if you were on the missions trip, you're really going to love this game. Everyone thought we were going to play Mafia. We can't play Mafia with 50 kids. Like, that's mathematically impossible. Like, you can't, like, I mean, you could, but you would have to, like, reassign cards different ways. And, like, you have to be very specific. Like, the king of hearts is this, and the queen of hearts, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to, like, saying, like, face cards mean this, you know? It's just, like, it would be way more nuanced and specific. I have to look it up because I think at camp they want to play a giant game of Mafia, and I don't know how we're going to do it. But we play Heads Up 7-Up. And that game is really silly. And it's like a game that like almost everyone's played in their childhood. And like, here's the way this game works. When you admit it's silly and make it silly, it kills. It just did so well. And so everyone was already on tables. They had their heads down. And they would do that thing where like, you know, Heads Up 7-Up were like seven people in the front. People had their heads down on the tables with a thumbs up. If you touch their thumb, when the game is over, when like all the seven people are back up to the front of the stage, the people who got their finger touched stand up, and they have to guess who touched their finger. And like, it's just really silly. And so I went around with the microphone and I was like, all right, let's see. And I just like bantered and, you know, riffed and stuff like that. It was, I'm not trying to make it about me, but it was the funnest game we played last night. Like, I mean, I would say the Pac-Man game was really fun, but like this game got way more laughs and giggles. We're like, the Pac-Man game, people like stopped halfway through because they were like not wanting to run, you know? It was super fun. Heads Up 7-Up is a classic. So then we had worship, and we had three songs, and And again, I told you I'm going to be honest with you. Actually, before I talk about The Worship, if you're looking for a game, there's a game called Selfie Scavenger Hunt. And it's on the DYM store. And it's a game I made. And it's a scavenger hunt that you can play in your youth room or in your church. And all your kids need is like Instagram. And it kills. It's so much fun. I promise you, you'll love it. You go to DYM. I'll put a link on my website, frangel.me. Selfie Scavenger Hunt. It's a super, super, super fun game. I think you guys will love it. So then we had worship. And again, I told you I'm always going to be honest. It didn't go well. Our worship leader wasn't there. And all we had was a keyboard player, two vocalists, and a cello player. So that sounds great. But you have no one playing rhythm. Or at least no one that's percussive that's keeping tempo. And so then the cello tries to keep tempo. And it just sounds really, really weird, dude. It just sounds so weird. So anyways, we had three songs. Do What You Want To, We Will Not Be Shaken, and What a Beautiful Name. And I was encouraged, man. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you have to let kids make mistakes. You have to let kids fail. Because that's how they grow and learn. And they did their best. They sang their hearts out. But like, it was rough. It was rough. And there's an argument here, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a question you have to ask yourself. As you want, like, worship in student ministry, I think, is great, and it's important, and it gives kids responsibility, and it keeps kids coming. But, like, there's a question, like, I know some youth groups say, like, if we're going to do worship, it's going to be excellent, so we're not going to put it in the hands of students, we're going to put it in the hands of volunteer adults, and maybe have one or two students on stage with those adults, but we're going to make sure we have excellence from the stage, because the worship is really important. Or you look at it from like another perspective. It's like, let this be organic. If it's messy, if it's, you know, whatever, like that's raw and real, and that's what makes it good. However, new kids will come in and they'll be like, this is crap, and then you just have to deal with that. Like, those are like kind of your ways of options. Not everyone can have like a really like robust program where like you have an all student led worship team, or like, you know what I'm saying, where like you have people in the background training and teaching and instructing, and like you're building like a farm system. Like, we don't quite have that. And maybe because I'm not like I play drums, but that's the extent of my musical inclinedness. Like, I know I have a friend named Delmar who plays guitar, and like I have other friends who like play instruments in the sense that they can actually lead worship, that probably have more robust worship teams because they're more musically inclined, or they've hired someone on their team, or they have a really like good volunteer that's just like really into that. Like, I have a volunteer who's leaving. He's great and he kills, but I mean, it's summer. I can't expect him to be here every day, you know what I'm saying? And he's leaving. It's like, I'm asking those questions. Like, what am I going to do with my worship team? Like, if it's led by the students, it's not going to be great. There's no real like leader that's really showing up and standing out. So I have to really figure out like, who am I going to get to come in there? And so right now I'm thinking about trying to find another adult volunteer. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but what I do know is I'm not going to stop having worship. I'd rather have bad worship than no worship. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to keep figuring out. The Lord's going to figure it out for us, and I'm going to trust in Him. And then we did our series on testimonies, where this week we actually did like workshops where like kids had worksheets to fill out. They had to answer questions. And basically, we broke up their testimony like a before Christ, like what the events surrounding you coming to Christ, and then how has your life been changed since Christ, and like asking very poignant questions to help them kind of develop their testimony. And it was really cool. Like, the kids were able to kind of process and figure things out. But like, you know, some middle school boys, you know, they needed more hands-on, where some of the high schoolers, they just like ran with it, right? It was really good. So overall, good night. Like I said, all the series that I'm doing this summer, I'm going to give away for free. Like, I'll probably give it away through the podcast or something. I can't wait. I think this is a good tool to use when it comes to teaching kids how to share their testimony. And it comes from like our church, because like to be baptized in a church, you have to learn how to write out your testimony. And we have kind of like a very good system in terms of like what it looks like to write out your testimony. And so we just like made a youth version of that and drew it out over 5 weeks. So I'll give that away in the next coming months. But what I want to talk about specifically is like, okay, so some of you guys are going to summer camp and you are responsible of making like a recap video. Or like you've wanted to do a recap video, but you don't know how, and things like that. Well, let me first say this. I'm not going to talk about the technical side. Like, real quickly, like, get a GoPro. Like, it's really easy. And GoPro isn't the greatest for audio, but what I'm about to tell you will show you that you don't really need to care about the audio that you're picking up. But a GoPro is a good camera. You can get, like, a 4K video. But no one needs 4K video. 1080p is great. A GoPro will get you what you need. I recorded my entire mission trip video on a Hero Session 5, all right? Or a Hero Session 4, whatever the square black one was. And it did an amazing job. Great footage, especially outdoor footage. Indoor footage is almost always rough, no matter what kind of camera you use, unless you have, like, a really nice camera. I had a friend on the mission trip who brought her, like, nice Canon 40D, or she's a 70. She's a Canon 70, which is, like, a super pro-grade camera, right? I didn't ask her to bring it. She just brought it because she wanted to take photos with it, and she took killer photos. But, like, she also took some videos, so I used maybe about a few clips of that. And then there was, like, maybe one or two shots I took on my iPhone that I added in the video. But here's the point. When it comes to gear, get a GoPro. That's, like, pretty good. Outside of that, if you want to get, like, a Canon T3i, T5i, or T7, whatever number it is right now, that's what's, like, called, like, a pro amateur level camera, where it's like pro quality, but it's, like, simple enough for an amateur to use. And, like, it's you can still mess it up, but it doesn't have as much robust features as, like, those pro cameras do. Here's the moral of the story. Get a GoPro. Like, you don't have to worry about any of these nuances if you have a GoPro. You don't have to worry about white balance or any of that stuff, unless you want to be a geek about it and then get into that. I like that kind of stuff. I would like to get into that, but, like, not everyone cares or wants to get into that. And as far as editing a video, like, you can get Adobe, Premiere Pro. For, like, $50 a month, you can get the whole Adobe suite, like Photoshop, Illustrator. But, like, listen, if you're not doing a ton of graphics or video stuff, then don't do it. Like, I do a lot of graphics in my youth group. I design a lot of the graphics for my ministry. I design the t-shirts. So, like, I've had Photoshop for a couple years now, and there is a learning curve, but you learn it, right? And Premiere Pro, I kind of learned since I got hired here, because now I have access to it. And they have, like, these, like, memberships where you can get it for cheap. But if you have a Mac computer, you have access to iMovie. And iMovie can make pretty dope videos. But, like, yeah, I mean, you can pretty much max out your ability on iMovie and still make amazing quality videos, right? And you can, like, do some tweaks where, like, you change fonts and adjust some stuff where you can't even tell it's an iMovie video. But, like, Premiere Pro is the next step up for sure. And then if you have Windows, I don't know what there is out there, if there's an equivalent to iMovie. I don't know if, like, Windows Movie Maker is still around and it's, like, upgraded and stuff like that. But I'm sure there's other options out there for quality video making. But here's the point. Get a GoPro and then go from there. All right. So here's, like, the five things you should keep in mind when you're making a video. And so whenever I know I make recap videos for my mission trip and my summer camp. The other times of the year, I don't really make recap videos. So, like, my Big Win a Weekend, my Fuse One Night, I don't really care. I'll just take photos. But, like, these are the two events I take video for. And here's what I'm constantly thinking about of how I choose what clips I take, okay? First, I only take 30-second clips. I don't need to take anything else. Because at every clip, I'm only going to use at the most 5 to 6 seconds of each clip. So 30 seconds is more than enough time to find something worth from that 30-second clip. If you're taking a 3-minute clip, then it's going to be more work on you trying to decipher of that 3-minute clip what's the best part. You know what I'm saying? Take 30-second clips. You can skim through 30 seconds really quickly, and you can find a good clip. You also don't need to take 1,000 clips. You can just take, like, a few meaningful clips and just know, like, if I've taken 100 or 50 30-second clips, like, I'll be able to make a whole video out of that. Second thing is focus on students and people. So on camp, you just only want to focus on students. So you don't need to focus on anything else. A mission trip, there's a temptation sometimes because you're in another country or in a different environment that you want to take videos of mountains, take videos of, like, the bus and stuff like that. Like, they might be a good, like, you can take one or two clips like that for, like, the intro and stuff like that. But the purpose of a recap video is to reflect and remember the feelings the kids had while they were on that trip, and seeing people will give them those feelings. And it also creates a perspective for parents to see what you actually did, right? And what parents want to see is they want to see their kids, right? So just focus on your kids, and then what I always do is Take shots of your students. Take shots of your students with other people. I actually rarely, almost never take shots of other people unless my students are with the video. I there's no purpose to. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like there was like a speaker that meant a lot to your kids or something. You know, like there's different reasons. But like mostly it's like my kids or my kids with the other people. Camp, it's 100% just the students doing silly stuff, right? That's the entire purpose of camp. Kids, shots of the kids worshiping, shots of the kids on stage, shots of the kids playing games, shots of the kids in Bible study, shots of the kids, you know, all those type of stuff. 30-second clips. Second thing is focus on the students and the people. The third thing, only interview, like do interviews when it's absolutely necessary. So like I told my volunteer leader who has a super nice camera to take video clips when she can, and she took a couple interview clips where she like asked the students like, so how has the mission trip shaped you and affected you? And like really good footage, amazing lighting, and her camera was really good and the audio was great. Those, like, so first of all that thing I just described is really hard to always recreate. Like, not only, sometimes you have great lighting, but not a great camera. Sometimes you have a great camera and not great sound. But like, she had all those things going for her. But I guess one thing I didn't tell her is like, I didn't tell her this philosophy of videos. So like, she didn't realize that she should only take like 30-second clips of like the kids. She thought like I would be using the sound. And to her credit, like, why would she think otherwise, right? So, but like, I'm going to use those interviews, but like for later, like for a separate video. It's like, okay, here's an actual clip of kids talking about the missions trip. And then the fourth thing is like, I always try to find one funny scene that I do have audio of to like end the video. Something that's like, will cause the kids to laugh at the end. So like at summer camp, I have this video, like the same girl leader who like took amazing footage. There's a clip of her at our summer camp where she goes to play tetherball, and she like is the third person. She wants to play tetherball with two kids, and like that doesn't work. Tetherball only goes two ways, right? And she gets hit with the tetherball like right in her shoulder, and it's pretty funny. Then like on this trip, I have a clip where like all the foreign kids, like they all say, "Oh my gosh." And it's funny because they don't really know what it means, but they say, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." And we got a clip of that. And so I put that in the video. So it's always funny though. A funny way to end the video is once the music fades to go into this like one audio portion that's like a really funny moment at camp. Or you can do it differently where it's like, or on the mission trip. Or if like there's a really beautiful scene of the kids worshiping, that always nails at the end of a video where it's like kids worshiping at the end, ending the video with worship. And then the fifth thing is, this is so important. I've seen so many camp videos, so many mission trip recap videos that are like 12 minutes long. Here's the problem. We're taking too many clips and we think that we have to have every clip. And you don't. You have to make hard decisions. And the way I make this hard decision is this. I think of a song. What is a song that best summarizes the clip, right? It could be like, if it was a mission trip and it was like an intense trip, do Oceans. If it was like a fun like camp, like find a really cool upbeat EDM song or like a hip hop song, like Andy Mineo type of track, right? Like find that track and say, however long this one song is, if it's 3.5 minutes or 5.5 minutes, that's how long this video is. No longer, right? That's always my rule. And then after that, I look at all my footage and I take 5-second clips of every single piece. Now, I try not to be redundant because sometimes like the pieces are the same of like, oh, it's a kid blowing bubbles. It's a kid blowing bubbles. It's a kid blowing bubbles. Like, okay, we don't need 5 clips of kids blowing bubbles. But like, I will try to find 5 seconds of every unique clip and I'll plop it in there. And if you have 3.5 minutes, you have to pick the best. You can't just do everything. And here's the problem. When you do your 12-minute videos, like, kids are not there to see a movie. And chances are that 12-minute video isn't going to be that great. Like, there's going to be boring parts, especially for kids who weren't on the trip. But, like, a 3.5 to 6-minute video, perfect. And, yeah, the only caveat I would say about that last point is be careful that YouTube might take it down if you do like a super popular. So like I say Hillsong, chances are you probably can't use Hillsong because they're way too big and YouTube will take it down because you can't use Hillsong music. But like sometimes you can get away with a certain hip hop artist and stuff like that. Like as long as you're not trying to monetize the video, YouTube can be flexible. But I don't know. It's been hit or miss. I've done this for enough time now where like I've had a video taken down because a song was copyrighted, and so I had to find a new song and I had to like adjust the video because of it, because it was like a minute shorter or a minute longer type of thing. So anyways, I'm very particular on this type of stuff because I think these videos and your t-shirts and all this type of graphics is the only marketing youth groups can like successfully do well. And I think sometimes we fail at it because we want to make sure that like every clip we've ever taken is in the video, or like we let people make bad t-shirts, that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully we'll talk about t-shirts one day. I'm not like the best graphic designer, but I am very particular about what goes on our shirts. And yeah, so that's my tip. Hope you enjoy it. Hey guys, check out DYM. I have a game on there. Besides that, thanks for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you would listen to me. I hope I see you guys next week. And next week we'll be having Lake Day. It's a family lake day where the whole family is going out to a lake. We're going to have burgers. We're going to have a potluck. We're going to play games. We're going to have worship by the water. It's going to be the dopest time. All right, till then, bye, buddies. I'm